Good morning and welcome to B'nai Shirin's Basic Medrash program on Sunday mornings. Once again, we're delighted that Rav Sacks has agreed to come on Sunday mornings, on various Sunday mornings, and give us a share. Rav Sacks will be here three times in the month of Elul today, as well as September 5th and September 12th. This morning's share is being sponsored by Michelle and Michael Schwartz, in memory of Michelle's father, Yisrael Yaakov and Kapil Halevi, as well as by Mindy and Henry Olinsky, in honor of the engagement of their daughter, Aliza Olinsky, to Dori Zaret. This morning's topic will be Simcha B'Rosh Hashanah, the Kavod Gadol Rav Sacks.
Pleasure to join you this morning to begin a series of shiurim regarding topics of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. The opening theme, as mentioned, will be the mitzvah of Simcha and Yantif, and especially how it pertains to the days of Yom Narayim themselves. The Gemara tells us in Sachim and Daf Kufes that there is a mitzvah d'arais of Simcha and each and every Yantif based on the pasuk of V'samachta b'chagecha. The Gemara tells us that ideally this mitzvah is fulfilled by ascending to Yerushalayim, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, offering karbanos. The Torah tells us, V'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham, V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. How is it that we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha? By going to the Beis HaMikdash. It's no coincidence at all that on Yantif there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and also there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, because the very essence of Simcha is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, what greater way to celebrate Simcha than going to the Beis HaMikdash, the makom of the greatest Hashras Hashchina. In fact, Rav Slavetchik would often comment, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, Daf Yedalad Amud Beis, that we know that there cannot be any Nihuge Avelus when it comes to Yantif. Why is that true? Because Avelus and Simcha cannot coexist. The Gemara tells us when it comes to a regular Yisrael, when is it that Simcha is Sosar Avelus? When it comes to Yantif. What about a Kohen Gadol? A Kohen Gadol never fully expresses Nihugi Avelus. And why is that true? The Gemara tells us, that a Kohen Gadol b'shar yimos hashana, ki Yisrael b'regel damya. A Kohen Gadol each and every day is comparable to each member of B'nai Yisrael during Yantif. What exactly is the link of the Gemara? Kohen Gadol daily compared to Yisrael on Yantif? On Yantif we have a mitzvah of Simcha. Certainly a Kohen Gadol doesn't have a mitzvah v'samach v'chagecha each and every day. But if the definition of Simcha is one who finds themselves in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'samach d'lifnei Hashem Elokecha, we have an obligation of being b'fnei Hashem on Shalosh Regalim. But the Kohen Gadol is obligated each day to be b'fnei Hashem. In fact, the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, this is also found in Beis Halevi, the Rambam in the very last halacha of Hilchos Kalayim, Perek Yud Halacha Lamed Beis, the Rambam writes the following chiddush. We know that the big day kuna contain shatnez. And therefore, obviously, when a Kohen does avoda, he must wear the big day kuna. If he doesn't wear the big day kuna, he violates Nisa Darais, and the avoda is mechuleles. Bizman shebigdein alehen, the Kohen must certainly wear Big Day Kuna B'Shas Avoda. Is there any dispensation for a Kohen to wear the Big Day Kuna Shelo B'Shas Avoda? So the Rambam writes the following Chiddush, that if a Kohen will wear the Big Day Kuna other than during the time of Avoda, the Kohen will get Malkus Daraisa because of Isser of Kilayim, Lokam Ipnei Ha'avnei Shebo. What is the heter of wearing Kilayim Shelo B'Shas Avoda? Apparently the Rambam's view is that it's the mitzvah of avoda that suspends, that takes precedence over the Isra of Kilayim, and that only applies during the avoda. Shelo b'shas avoda, there is no heter for the Kohen to wear big day kahuna. Those of you learning Daf Yom, you're familiar with the sugya Erechin and Daf Gimel, where the Gemara tells us be'idan avoda. That's when the Kohen is allowed to wear the big day kuna, but not shalo be'idan avoda. So the Ravid has two kashas. Number one, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid assumes that big day kuna in its very essence is exempt from the Isser of Kilayim, and therefore, even if a Kohen wore a big day kuna shalo b'shas avoda, there is no malchus. But then the Ravid asked the following issue. If you agree to the Rambam's view that there is a problem of shatnez, shalo b'shas avoda, why does the Rambam write that loka mipnei ha'avnet shabo? Is avnet the only one of the big day kuna that contains shatnez? Not only the avnet, but also the choshen and ephod. So if you're going to tell me that there is a problem of shatnez, shalo b'shas avoda, why limit it to the avnet? Why not apply it to all three of those big day kahuna? The Beis Halevi comments, Rav Slavechik explained the following chiddush. There's a marked difference between avnet as opposed to choshen ephod. Avnet is worn by the Kohen Hediot. Choshen ephod is worn by the Kohen Gadol. Why is it that a Kohen Hediot wears big day kahuna? That, the Rambam writes, is simply as a Hechsher avoda. The Kohen must do avoda. It's necessary to don big day kuna, but there is no license for the Kohen to wear big day kuna outside of the Shas avoda. Why is it that a Kohen Gadol wears big day kuna? Because the Kohen Gadol has priority in terms of avoda? No. The Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol wears big day kuna because it is l'ratzon lifnei Hashem. The Gemara tells us, Sanhedrin Daf Yud Beis, sitz meratze. When the Kohen Gadol finds himself in the Beis HaMikdash wearing the big day kuna, that secures kapara for Klal Yisrael. What do you see from this chiddush? That even though a Kohen Hediot is only allowed to wear big day kuna because of his role of avoda, that's not true when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol always finds himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Beis HaMikdash, wearing the big day kahuna, securing kapara, and therefore the Rambam writes, the only difficulty is the Kohen Hediot shelo b'shas avoda. There's a separate mitzvah levisha of Kohen Gadol independent of any role of avoda. It's true that a Kohen Gadol will offer, or at least other will offer on his behalf, the Minchas Chavitin each day. It's true that a Kohen Gadol will have priority in terms of doing particular avoda, but even if the Kohen Gadol doesn't exercise that right, nonetheless, he is able to wear his big day kuna. That is the uniqueness of Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol always finding himself in the Mikdash, Bifnei Hashem. In fact, the Gemara tells us, the very beginning of the second parak of Sanhedrin, that if, in fact, a Kohen Gadol is Rachman Letzlan in a state of Avelus, he is allowed at a distance to trail the Aron, but only until the outskirts of Yerushalayim. He's not allowed to leave the city. And Chassinuch writes the following Chiddush, that every day a carbon is offered on behalf of Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol always has to find himself in the Mikdash. That means the Kohen Gadol is always Bifnei Hashem. Rav Slavechik explained, that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. The Kohen Gadol, B'shar Yemos Hashana, Ki Yisrael B'regel Damya. A Kohen Gadol, each and every day, is comparable. It can be equated with the Yisrael during Shalosh Regalim. And what exactly is the link? That is when a person finds himself Bifnei Hashem. It's very important in terms of definition of Simcha. V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, it's not coincidental at all that Simcha goes hand in hand with a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So the Gemara explains, Psachim Kuvtes, that's good Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. What about Bizman Hazeh? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. How do we celebrate the mitzvah of Simcha? So that's where the Gemara tells us, Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin, Shenemar Yayin Nesamach Levav Enosh. There we have to rely on other forms of Simcha. Not Simcha in terms of Beis HaMikdash, Hakravas HaKarbanos, Aliyah L'Regel, but rather Simcha in terms of other means of securing that level of joy and celebration during the period of Yantif. Simcha b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim, that certainly is in fact a mitzvah daraisa. That's ein simcha ela b'basar. Ein simcha ela b'basar, the simple understanding of the Gemara means b'sar ha-karbanos. B'zman hazeh ein simcha ela b'yayin. The phrase that everyone is familiar with is a Rambam. not the Gemara. The Gemara tells us two tracks. The Zman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar. The Zman Hazeh, Rabbi Yehuda B'Seira comments, Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin. The Rambam writes that Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin, as though that there's a mitzvah b'achilas basar, even aside from Beis HaMikdash. That's a very great chiddush. Because the way the Gemara presents this issue is these are two different options. One, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. One, Bizman Hazeh. In fact, this is what the Beis Yosef questions in Tavkuv Chavtes, the very end of Hilchos Yontif. And the Beis Yosef, in fact, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes that one is obligated to have a Sudas Yontif, one is obligated to have wine, but the Beis Yosef does not write one is obligated to have basar. Ein simchel b'basar means b'sar ha-karbanos. In the Mishnah Berurah, in Tavkuv Chavtes, refers you to the Rambam Shita, that even b'zman hazeh, we assume that ein simchel b'basar, a person should have the most delectable, festive meal possible, and generally speaking, that includes basar v'yayin. Simcha b'zman hazeh, a mitzvah d'araisa, a mitzvah d'rabanan, this is a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosus. The Rambam assumes, perek vav of Hilchos Yontif, Simcha b'zman hazeh is a mitzvah. Midaraisa. There are different tracks, different options. Obviously, the ideal form of simcha is Beis HaMikdash, Hakravas HaKarbanos, but even the mitzvah simcha b'zman hazeh exists min ha-Torah. Shar minei simachos. Anyway, that a person will in fact rejoice, that is considered to be part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, and Tosus disagrees. Tosus writes, in Moikot and Daf Yedal Mabeis, the mitzvah darais of simcha is limited to Beis HaMikdash. Without Beis HaMikdash, ein simcha l'biyayin, that's only a mitzvah d'rabanan, a machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam. This machlokas is critical to understand that sugya Moikot and Yedal Mabeis. Rachmana Litzlan, a person becomes an avel during the period of Yontif. As mentioned, a person is faced with two contradictory obligations, the mitzvah of simcha, and also the chiyuv of avelus. As we learn Tosas comments, both of those cannot coexist. Shabbos, Tosas writes, there's no mitzvah of simcha, and therefore Shabbos is Ol Minyan Shiva. By its very definition, Shabbos is one of the days of Shiva itself. But Yontif, a mitzvah of simcha, simcha and avedos cannot coexist, and therefore the obvious question, which mitzvah prevails? Which obligation takes precedence over the other? The Gemara tells us, osi mitzvah derabim, vidochi mitzvah deyachid. Simcha takes precedence over avelus. Why is that true? Because simcha is a mitzvah derabim that applies to the entire tzibur. Avelus is a mitzvah deyachid. And a very important chiddush the Gemara tells us. You have two mitzvos, you want to assess which is considered to be more chomor, which is more kal. If something is a chiyuv on the tzibur, that will take precedence over a mitzvah shebiyachin. So therefore, as you know, the Gemara tells us that you observe simcha, and the avelus is deferred, it is delayed until the conclusion of Yontif. So very interesting ha'ara. When the Gemara contrasts simcha and avelus, questioning which obligation prevails, the Gemara does not say one is daraisa, one is derabanan. The Gemara says the difference between the two is sibur versus yachid. What about that issue, though, of daraisa derabanan? Maybe one could argue that A should prevail, either simcha or avelus, because that's a mitzvah daraisa, and the other is only a mitzvah derabanan. The Gemara doesn't hint at all to a distinction between daraisa versus derabanan. The Gemara says the difference is merely yachid versus tibur. Why is that? This is the machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam. Simcha we mentioned, Tosus says, is only derabanan bizman hazeh. The Rambam writes simcha is daraisa. What about avelus? Avelus bizman hazeh. Avelus for us. Is that daraisa derabanan? The concept of aninus, the Torah tells us, when it comes to achilas kodshim, when it comes to maaser sheni, when it comes to avoda, there is a din daraisa certainly of aninus, and onin is not allowed to eat kodshim, not allowed to eat maaser sheni, that's part of the vidui, lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, you're not allowed to do avoda. What about our avelus? Is that daraisa or is that drabanan? This is a further machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam. The Rambam shita, the very opening halach in Hilchos Avel, is that avelus is daraisa. Avelus is daraisa. And Tosus disagrees and assumes that no, avelus is only a din derabanan. both according to Tosfos and the Rambam, you understand the Gemara very well. The Gemara did not mention one is Daraisa, one is Darabanan, because the Gemara apparently was assuming that both are on the same tier, Avelus and Simcha. But is that Daraisa, or is that Darabanan? According to the view of Tosfos, the Gemara is contracting two different mitzvos, Darabanan. You have an obligation of Simcha Bizman Hazeh, which is a mitzvah Darabanan. You have Avelus Bizman Hazeh, which is Derabanan. The question is, which takes precedence? Both are obligations derabanan. The Gemara says, Simcha prevails because it's a mitzvah derabim, juxtaposed against a mitzvah diachir. According to the Rambam Shita, not true at all. According to the Rambam, both are mitzvahs daraisa. Simcha bezmanazeh is daraisa, avelus is daraisa, and therefore the Gemara wants to know, min ha-Torah, which obligation takes precedence? The answer is the mitzvah derabim of Simcha takes precedence over the mitzvah diyachid of Avelus. Both, in fact, are daraisa. So the Rambam and Tosfos beautifully understand the line of the Gemara, asi mitzvah derabim, dachi mitzvah diyachid, that a critical machlokes, mitzvah daraisa or mitzvah derabanan. Is there any difference, lahalacha, between the Rambam and Tosfos? So a fascinating machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, the very end of Hilchos Avelus, Shin Tzadites. What happens on the last day of Yantif? Let's assume, for example, Rachman Letzon, a person is Nifter, and the Kfura is on the last day of Yantif itself. The Gemara tells us in Beitz and Davav that there are times that we allow Kfura Sameis on the last day of Yantif, on Yantif Shein Shogolios. What would the halacha be in such an instance? The mitzvah of Simcha on Yantif Shein Shogolios certainly is only Drabanan. The whole Yantif is only Drabanan. So what would happen if you have a conflict between Avelus and Simcha at the conclusion of Yantif? So one would argue then as follows, apparently. According to Tosfos, you have Simcha Drabanan, Avelus Drabanan, will still apply the principle of the Gemara. Asi mitzvah derabim, bedochi mitzvah diachid. According to the Rambam, however, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, which is only Drabanan bizman hazeh. After all, the last day of Yantif. And the mitzvah of Avelus is Daraisa. Now you have a mitzvah Daraisa of Avelus juxtaposed against a mitzvah Derabanan of Simcha. That's the Chiddush of Halachos Gedolos. Halachos Gedolos writes that in that case, Avelus takes precedence over Simcha. Kozman, that they are either all Derabanan or all Daraisa. Now you can go to the next question, Yachid versus Rabim. However, once you assume one is Daraisa, one is Derabanan, the mitzvah Daraisa will prevail. That's the psak halach of the Gaonim, the sheet of halachos gedolos. In that particular case, Avelus is soser Simcha, not that Simcha is mevatel Avelus, an important chiddush. That's what the Mechaber writes in Shin Tzadites. And the Rama disagrees following the Psak Halacha of Tosfos. And therefore the Rama says that no, even on the last day of Yantif as well, we'll assume that Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. That's a critical nafkamina. However, one difficulty. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis the following story. Rabbi Eliezer comes to Shul. Right. Lo Matzah Be'asar. There was no minyan that was present. Shichrer avdo lahashlimu la'asara. He freed his Eved Knani in order to make up that minyan. How could he do so? The Gemara says, freeing your Eved Knani is forbidden in HaTorah. Kol ha'meshachrer avdo over besei she'ne'emar la'olam bahem ta'avodu. The Gemara says, how can you free your Eved simply for a mitzvah of tefillah? The Gemara says that mitzvah shani. Mitzvah shani. He was doing so for the purpose of a mitzvah. This is quoted twice in Shas. In Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, in Gittin and Daf Lamed Ches. The Sugya in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches ends there. Mitzvah Shani, period. That's it. End of the Sugya. The Gemara Brachos has an additional Kash, additional Teretz. Very important. The Gemara says, Mitzvah Shani? What is that called when a person violates an Aveira in order to perform a mitzvah? The Gemara says, Mitzvah Haba Be'Aveira. Mitzvah Shani. What right do you have to violate an Isser to accommodate the mitzvah? Lulav HaGozel, I'll steal someone's Dalet Minim to fulfill the mitzvah? How can that be? The Gemara answers, Mitzvah Derabim Shani. This is such an important mitzvah. Tefillah B'Tzibur. So therefore, that justifies Rabbi Eliezer being Meshachar his Eved. That's the end of the Gemara Brachos, Mem Zayin Od Beis. Tosfos is bothered by the following difficulty. Freeing your Eved is forbidden in HaTorah, the Gemara says, La'olam Bahem Tavodu. And what is the Gemara answer? But nonetheless, one is allowed to do so to accommodate a mitzvah derabim, the mitzvah derabim of Tfilah B'tzibur. The mitzvah derabim of Tfilah takes precedence over the Isser D'Yachir of La'olam Bahem Tavodu. What's the difficulty that Tosfos raises? The Isser, La'olam Bahem Tavodu, is Daraisa. We discussed in our earlier Shiurim. Tfilah B'tzibur, a mitzvah Daraisa. Tosfos says, Derabanan, at best, a chiyuv derabanan. So isn't this a case where you have Daraisa versus derabanan? And the Gemara says, mitzvah derabim shiny. Tosfos says that teaches us that a mitzvah derabim derabanan takes precedence over a mitzvah daraisa diyachin. That's what Tosfos writes. Now an important chiddush. And therefore Tosfos writes in a beautifully succinct way, mikan kasha lahalachos gadolos. Against the halachos gadolos. That beautiful chiddush of the Bahag. That on the second day of Yom Tov Avelos takes precedence over the mitzvah Simcha, because when you have the Daraisa versus the Rabbanan, there's nothing to discuss. The Daraisa prevails. Tosfos says, not true. Don't you see that from the case of Rabbi Eliezer? A mitzvah derabim is so potent, it can suspend a mitzvah diyachid even if the mitzvah derabim is Daraisa, derabbanan, and the mitzvah diyachid is a chiyu Daraisa. That's what Tosfos writes, Mikan Kasha, Lalachas Gedolos. A fascinating Chiddush. That's the Rush that I've mentioned in the previous years, where the Rush writes the following Chiddush, and don't tell me it was referring to the Shabbos of Parsha Zachar, because if that was true, the Gemara should have told us. It shouldn't have left out that important detail. Why is that Rush such a great Chiddush? And let's assume it was the Shabbos of Parsha Zachar, and therefore you'll tell me, I understand, now there's a mitzvah daraisa of Zechira Samalek, but you see, according to the Rush, a twofold chiddush. Number one, the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek requires a kriyas Torah, a krini toch haksav, that you know from Tosfos and Brachos Daf Yud Gimel, that's announced every year when we lay in Parsha Zachar. But a further chiddush, apparently the Rosh Hashita is, you only fulfill the mitzvah daraisa Parsha Zachar, bitzibur. That's a very great chiddush. Even Tosfos that writes that you have to read Parsha Zachar from a Sefer Torah, so good, a kri mitoch haksav, like Kriyas HaMegillah, a kri mitoch haksav. But the Rush assumes if it would have been referring to Parsha Zachar, we understand very well, because that's a need daraisa. Is there a need midaraisa for a minyan for Parsha Zachar? Apparently that is the Shitas HaRash. It's necessary to have a minyan min HaTorah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. That is the most extreme shita in terms of what is Daraisa, and what is Darabanan in a Parsha Zachar, the view of the Rosh, that Sigin Brachos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that you require not only Kri Mitoch Haksav, but you require a minyan as well. Good? How else could you understand that, Gemara? After all, Tosfos is absolutely right, that no, freeing the Eved in his Daraisa, Tfilah B'tzibur, Derabanan. So don't you see that a mitzvah derabim always takes precedence over mitzvah diyachid? How do you understand that according to Halachos Gedolos? If you look in the Ran, not in that sugya, but the Ran in the parallel sugya in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches, the Ran interprets the Gemara very, very differently. The Ran tells us the following. His mashal is that the Torah writes there's an isser of lo sechonim, that normally speaking, a person is not allowed to give a matnas chinam to an akum. Lo sechonim, not to show favor to an akum. What exactly does that mean, the Ran says? Let's assume, for example, a person in a situation, you go to your barber, you're very happy with the haircut he gives you, and you offer him a tip. That's an isser. That's an isser of lo sechonim. So no, that's the normal protocol. A person could very well be motivated by self-interest. If you don't tip him this time, you may not be as happy the next time that you're there. So a person will do it motivated out of self-interest. No? Self-interest. That's the chiddush that the Ran points out. There's no isser of lo sechonim if a person is doing so for self-interest. You're in the business world and there's an understanding that you have to give certain gifts, certain tips, a certain protocol. That's not called a matnas chinam. That's simply convention. That's part of the normal expectation. Good? The Ran writes the very great chiddush. The same applies to la'olam bahem tavodu. Why you are freeing that Eved is absolutely critical. If you're freeing him out of idealistic reasons, philosophy, b'shita, that you want to free the Eved, the Torah says, lo adem tavodu. But if a person is doing so because of self-interest, I'm freeing this Eved because I need my minion right now. Or I'm freeing this Eved letzarach mitzvah. The Mishnah tells us in Gittin, let's assume you have a chatzeh v'chatzeh ben chorin. And therefore he can't marry anyone. He can't fulfill the mitzvah of peruvu. So the Mishnah tells us, kofenis rabo meshacharo. You free the Eved. How can you do so? Lo adem tavodu. The Ran writes, if you're doing so letzarach mitzvah, if you're doing so out of self-interest, that is not the iser at all of the olam bahem tavodu. That's how the Ran understands the Gemara. It's not that the mitzvah of tefillah is doche the iser of lo bahem tavodu, but if a person is doing for tzorach mitzvah or out of self-motivation to accommodate my need, in such a case, that is not within the iser at all of the olam bahem tavodu. The reason I stressed earlier why it's important that difference in girsa between the Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches and in Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin is because of this chiddush of the Ran. The Ran makes this comment in the sugya in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara says, how is it possible for Rabbi Eliezer to meshachar zeved? What's the answer of the Gemara? Mitzvishani, period. That fits in beautifully according to the Ran. But the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Zayin asks a further question. Isn't this a mitzvah haba be Avera? And the Gemara answers, mitzvah de Rabin. Those lines are very difficult, according to the view of the Ran. No? What mitzvah be Avera? The way the Ran understands, if one is being meshachra the Eved, the Tzarech mitzvah, it is not considered to be an Isser at all. Then how can the Gemara ask that mitzvah b'abi aveira? You don't have to come on to the answer of mitzvah d'rabim. The Ran apparently understood that the Iker Girsu was, as the Gemara presents in Gittin Daf Lamed Ches, mitzvah shani, not that A is doche B, there's no collision whatsoever. If a person is freeing the Eved for his own interest, that is not an Isser whatsoever of la'olam bahem ta'avodu. So very different understanding. The Ran understands that there's no Isser at all, Olam Tavodu. Tosus understands, no, there's a mitzvah, there's an Isser, it's a question of which takes precedence over the other, and the Gemara is telling us a very important principle. Rabbim always takes precedence over Yachid, even if Rabbim is Drabbanan and Yachid is Adin D'Oraisa, a very important principle, L'Halacha. That Shak L'Vitar, the Gemara, is also important for another reason as well. The Gemara says, mitzvah b'ab yaveira. And the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim. How do you understand the lumdus? The kash of the Gemara and the teretz of the Gemara. The Gemara says, this is called a mitzvah b'abei aveira, violating an isser to accommodate a mitzvah. And the Gemara answers, mitzvah derabim. When do you apply mitzvah b'abei aveira, when do you not? Or even a further question, what's the difference between mitzvah b'abei aveira as opposed to essay d'ochalos essay? Sometimes we say an aveira is involved. Terrible. Mitzvah b'abei aveira ain't a mitzvah. And sometimes we assume an aveira is involved, no problem, the mitzvah sasei will override the lav. That's the concept of esed ochalos sasei. When do you argue something is called mitzvah b'abei aveira? When do you argue something is esed ochalos sasei? And therefore, the mitzvah is able to prevail over the iser. How do you know when to apply which principle? The Gemara tells us, beitza chetzim abeis. The answer is one word. That word is called bi'idna. Bi'idna. That's the teretz of the Gemara. You require that the simultaneous fulfillment of the mitzvah and violation of the law. Mitzvah b'abei aveira. In all cases, a person violates Isser A and subsequently, at a later point in time, fulfills mitzvah B. That's called a mitzvah b'abei aveira. A person will steal a lulav and subsequently fulfill the mitzvah. That's mitzvah b'abei aveira. What happens if at the very instant the kiyum esei goes hand in hand with the iser? That's when the Gemara says you can apply the principle of esei docholos esei. Esei docholos esei always requires bi'idna, simultaneity. At the moment that you violate the lav, one is mekayim the mitzvah esei. So for example, the Gemara tells us in Beitz and Daf Ches, Ris Mila. Let's assume, for example, there's a baheres. The child has saras. It's necessary to do a bris milah. Removal of that nega saras is forbidden in HaTorah. The Gemara says, The moment that you're violating the law by removing the arla, you're fulfilling the mitzvah saseh, that is called hesed ochel osaseh. Kelayim and tzitzis, the Gemara tells us. The moment that you're violating the isser lav, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, that is called be'idna. The Gemara says another example. Let's assume a person does shchita an yantiv. Now I'm obligated to do kisui hadam, to cover the blood. I don't have any ground up earth in order to perform the mitzvah of kisui. So the Gemara suggests maybe chop up the dirt now. You have a clump of mud. Chop it up now. That's an isser malach an yantiv av. Tochein of Kotesh, and then subsequently to Kisei Adam, the Gemara says, that's not the Idna. There's no justification for violating an Avera now in order to accommodate the mitzvah at a later point in time. That's what we call a mitzvah haba, the Avera, as opposed to Esed Ochel Osaseh. That's exactly the kasha the Gemara raises. Rabbi Eliezer is Meshacher his Eved now in order to fulfill a mitzvah subsequently of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Isn't that called the mitzvah babi avera? What right do we have to assume that the mitzvah takes precedence? That's exactly mitzvah babi avera. What's the answer? Mitzvah derabim. Mitzvah derabim. What exactly does that mean, mitzvah derabim? So Tosus writes in Psachim Adaf Nun Tes, a very important chiddush. When do you require be'idna? That's only if you're dealing with a typical, a standard mitzvah and a standard iser. But if you can demonstrate that the mitzvah is a mitzvah chashuva that will be able to overpower the iser, then you can apply the principle of esse dochel osaseh, even though it's not be'idna. That's what Tosus writes. If you can demonstrate that this is not an average mitzvah, this is a mitzvah chashuva, you don't require the idna, we would allow violating an isser now to accommodate a mitzvah subsequently. Tosus writes this in Sachem Adaf Nun Tes, because there the Gemara tells us the following chiddush, the following dilemma. A person shows up on Erev Pesach to offer his Karban Pesach. Wonderful. That's when it should be brought. What's the difficulty? This person was Tameh. And good, he waited the requisite amount of time, did everything that was necessary, but he's still mechusar kippurim. He has to offer a karban in order to allow him to partake in the mitzvah achilas kodshim. What's the difficulty? Karban Pesach is unique. All other karbanos can only be brought after the karban shel tamid, and after the karban tamid shel shachar, before the karban tamid shel ben harbaim. If a person will offer a karban after the karban tamid shel ben arba'im, you violate what is called the essay dehashlama. Aleh hashlim kol hakarbanos kulam. That's not true of karban pesach. Karban pesach is brought after the karban tamid shel ben arba'im. That's uniquely true of karban pesach. That is brought later in the day. Every other karban must be brought before the karban tamid shel ben arba'im. What's the difficulty? In Beis HaMikdash, they offer this Karban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im. All of a sudden, this person strolls in, and he informs the Kohen, I have to offer my Karban, a Mechusar Kippurim, in order to partake of Karban Pesach. So the Gemara raises a critical dilemma. If the Kohen will offer his Karban, the Kohen violates the Esei Dehashlama, but that will allow the person to be fully Tahor, to partake of Karban Pesach. If the Kohen refuses, the person can't fulfill the mitzvah Karban Pesach. What does that Kohen do? No? Do you ever assume the principle of Chatei Bishvil Shiyizka Chavercha? Can I commit a chait in order that someone else would benefit? So the Gemara tells us, the Chiddush, that yes, it is worth the Kohen accepting his Karban, even though it's an Isser for the Kohen, in order to allow a person to bring the Karban Pesach, a very important Chiddush. So Tosus is bothered. When do we assume that that's true? When do we assume that it is worth, so to speak, violating an Avera in order to accommodate the mitzvah? The Gemara has a beautiful phrase, an Avera Lishma. Sometimes you can do an Avera for the right reason. No, it's worthwhile for the Kohen to do an Avera in order to accommodate a greater mitzvah. But what's the vehicle? On what basis is this mutter? So Tosus, from Sochim, Daf Nun Tes, compares this to the case of Rabbi Eliezer. Normally speaking, in order for an essay to take precedence over an Isser or Lo Saseh, we require Be'idna. But if you can demonstrate that the essay outweighs the iser, and of course this requires broad shoulders to be able to know, in terms of hierarchy, which takes precedence, which prevails, then we will allow first violation of iser in order to accommodate a subsequent mitzvah. It's worth it for the Kohen to accept that karban, violating the essay de hashlama, in order to allow a person to become tahar, to be able to partake of karban Pesach. And Tosus compares it to Rabbi Eliezer, Shichr Avdol Hashlim Ola Asara. Mitzvah derabim, tefillah b'tzibur is such an important concept. It is worth violating that iser of the olam tavodu in order to accommodate that mitzvah. That's the Chiddush of Tosus. Tosus, the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, Daf Gimel, applies a different principle. As mentioned, Chalel Shabbos Achas, Teishishmar Shabbos Asharbe. Sometimes you assume a beautiful topic for another shir. When do we argue that it is worth violating an Avera Kala in order to accommodate a mitzvah chamura? What is that balance? Now, Tosus quotes the Gemara, for example, in Tainus and Daf Yir Aleph. Let's assume, for example, a person has a tragic, bothersome dream, right? On El Shabbos, on Friday night. So he goes to his Rav and says, what do I do? Sometimes the Rav might advise him, a Tanis Chalom, on Shabbos. On Shabbos, he has to fast. Why is that true? Because that takes precedence over the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. A person fasts on Shabbos. No, Motzoi Shabbos, he turns to the Rav and says, I listened to exactly what you said. I fasted all Shabbos. The Rav says, because you listened to me, this v'tanis l'tanaseh, you have to fast again during the week because you're mevatel the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So Tosfos, right, isn't that a dilemma? No, the halacha requires that I fast on Shabbos, and then the halacha insists that I fast an additional day as a kapara for not fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. How can that be? So Tosfos writes in a very important Musar Haskel, this is true, we've all experienced this in life, that we don't live in an ideal world. Sometimes you have to opt for the lesser of two evils. But either element has an aspect of Avera. There will be an aspect of Avera to mevatel Oneg Shabbos. There will be an aspect of Avera simply to ignore the Chalom and to eat. And therefore, in terms of triage, one has to decide, is it worth it? Is it worth doing A as opposed to B? Given the situation, the best option, Tosfos writes, is to fast on Shabbos. But realize, fasting on Shabbos also is considered to be an Isser. And Tosfos compares this to Nazir. That's the Tosfos and Tainus and Daf Yir Aleph. Rabbi Elazar HaKapper tells us that a Nazir is a Chote, and that's why he has to bring a Karban Chatos. But doesn't the Gemara say that Haroa Sota de Kokulo Yazir Atzmin Hayayin? That sometimes you're living in a very promiscuous environment. You should become a Nazir. But a Nazir has to bring a Karban Chatos. So Tosfos says there isn't necessarily a contradiction. No? Sometimes a person is faced with that moral dilemma that any way he turns there's a problem. And you're going to have to resolve which is considered to be the lesser of two evils, la halacha. But nonetheless, you acknowledge that either way you turn, there's an element of chait. But you know what? It is worth violating an avera kala as opposed to avera chamura. In that situation, it's worth becoming an azir. Even though you have to bring a karban chatas, because the other option is far worse. It's a very important Mr. Haskell. The Tosfos writes, it's very important for elements of Dechiyas Yisurim. Sometimes, Dechiyas Yisurim means there's no avera whatsoever. That's the Chiddush of the Ran. The Ran writes, freeing an Eved, Mitzorach Mitzvah, is not an Isser at all. There's no dilemma. That's not the Isser of Lo Mem Tavodu. But that's not the Chiddush. The Tosfos assumes there is an Isser, but there's an opportunity for Mitzvah, and now a person has to balance. It requires a hefty Shikul Hadas. When is it worth violating an Isser in order to accommodate the Mitzvah? The Gemara has in Shabbos and Daf Gimel. I see a person take raw dough and plaster it on the wall of his oven on Shabbos, and he walks. I know, if I sit back and do nothing, you know what's going to happen? That challah is going to bake, that will be a malacha daraisa. If I come to the day and take it out of the oven, I'll save that person from violating an iser daraisa. The process has been put in motion, but certainly the person will not be mechallel Shabbos unless the dough actually bakes. What's the difficulty? It wasn't sitting in the oven. It was plastered on the wall of the oven. It requires that I chisel it off. Radia sapas, which is an iser derabanan. Is it worth my violating an iser derabanan to save him from an iser daraisa of chilul Shabbos? Or what about the very same person? The person now has harata. Oh, it's terrible, right? I put that dough in the oven on Shabbos. Can the person himself violate an iser derabanan to save himself from violating an iser daraisa? Tosfos describes these are part of the issues of that balance of the chalal Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmor Shabbos harbe. Very important kiddush. But again, the Gemara tells us our starting point, the mitzvah of simcha, a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. As for the simcha bizman says daraisa derabanan, Tosfos Ashita is simcha bizman says only a din derabanan, because simcha min haTorah requires beis hamikdash, hakrabas hakarbanos, aliyah leregel, and unfortunately we don't have that bizman hazeh. The reason that this relates, and this is the transition into Yomim Noraim, is the following issue. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? One could argue as follows. According to the Rambam Shita, simcha is not limited at all to Beis HaMikdash, not limited to HaKrabas HaKrabanos, not limited to Aliyah LeRegel. The mitzvah of simcha applies even b'zman hazeh. One is able to experience the Samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha even without Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, far, far, far from ideal, but nonetheless a mitzvah daraisa. One could envision, according to the Rambam Shita, that there's a mitzvah daraisa of simcha even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim as well. The fact that there's no mitzvah of aliyah leregel does not necessarily mean that there's no mitzvah of simcha. According to Tosfos, one in fact could argue, one could distinguish, but at first glance one could argue that look, if simcha always goes hand in hand with aliyah leregel, and that mitzvah does not exist on Rosh Yom Kippur, maybe there is no mitzvah of simcha at all on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. To what extent is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? To what extent do we assume that there is not? Right, those of you again learning Daf Yomi, yesterday's Daf. No? The Gemara Erechin Daf Yud questions why is it that we don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? Why is there no Hallel? After all, it's a Moed, Ikdish Basiyas HaMalacha. Why is it that we don't recite Hallel at these particular times? And that's the famous answer of the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sifrei Chaim U'Nesim Suchen Lefana V'Atem Omrim Shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is judging the world. It's an inappropriate time to recite Hallel. What is the obligation of Hallel? The Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvos that Hallel is a function of Simcha. Hallel and Simcha always go hand in hand. If there's a mitzvah of simcha, it's insufficient simply what the Rambam terms simchas kreso. Simcha just means achil and shdiya. A person will have a festive suda. Simcha requires recitation of halal as well. And that's how the Ramban justifies halachos gadolos that halal is a mitzvah daraisa. Where does the Torah say you're obligated to recite halal? A mitzvah daraisa. The Ramban writes in one teretz that's part of the mitzvah of simcha. The fact that the Gemara suggests that therefore Hallel should be recited on Rosh Hashanah, doesn't that indicate that there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah as well? The question is yes. But once the Gemara answers, Sifrei Chaim U'Nesim, so what exactly does that mean? There's no mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Or does it mean something very different? If you look in the Rambam, when the Rambam discusses the halachos of Hallel, Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Einam Yemei, Simcha Yaseir, the Rambam writes. It's not a time of abundant joy. Rav Chaim was medayik in the Rambam. The Ram does not write that there is no mitzvah of simcha whatsoever on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But rather the Rambam emphasized, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is a balanced, there is a tempered simcha. On the one hand, there is a mitzvah daraisa of simcha. On the other hand, you have to recognize it's also considered to be Yom HaDin. The challenge of Yomim Noraim is to balance these two concepts, simcha and din, which don't necessarily contradict each other. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. And therefore, it's true, we don't recite Hallel, but nonetheless, there is a mitzvah of Simcha Berash. In the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes the machlokas between Surim Pumbedisa on the one hand versus the practice of Rav Haigon, whether in Kiddush and Shmon Es and Rosh Hashanah, do you recite Moadim Simcha, Chagim Azmanim Asasam? So in Surim Pumbedisa, they used to recite that phrase, even on Rosh Hashanah as well. Moadim Simcha. It's a moed. There's a mitzvah of Simcha. And Rav Haigon instituted now our practice of Dvarcha Emes, Bekayim Moad, but not to recite Moadim Simcha. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that the day is void of Simcha. Just as we don't recite Hallel, and we don't acknowledge the element of Simcha so overtly, acknowledging that it's considered to be Yom Hadin, the same thing is true when it comes to this obligation of, well, Moadim LeSimcha. To what extent is there a chiyuv of Suda when it comes to Rosh Hashanah? Good? The Mechaber writes in the very beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, in Tav Kuv Tzari Zayin, Ochlin, Beshosin, Usmechin, Ve'ein Misanin Rosh Hashanah. A person is obligated to eat and to drink, to exhibit Simcha. A person is not allowed to be in a state of mind of terrible, dire tzara during the time of Rosh Hashanah. There's a chiyuv suda. And the Rama writes the name of the Shemas Hadeshen, V'yesh Omrim Shemitzvah Lehizanos. One day in the Gaon, a person should fast on Rosh Hashanah. Two very different shitas, the Mechabra Mitzvah of Simcha, the Rama Yesh Omrim Mitzvah Lehizanos. In fact, the Matef Raim, also the Mishnah Berurah, and that Simen, in Tav Kuv Tzari Zayin, raises the following issue. Let's assume, for example, we normally have a full Suda on the night of Rosh Hashanah, on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Let's assume, for example, a person forgot to say Yalla V'yavo during those meals. We discussed in earlier Shiurim, what's the rule of thumb? When do you repeat? When don't you repeat? In the Chabar Rachayim Kuf Teches, it depends on whether there is a Chiv Suda. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed, there's no Chiv Suda. Therefore, you fail to recite Yalla V'yavo. You don't repeat. Shabbos Yontif Chiv Suda. You're obligated to repeat the Berachas HaMazon. That's the Mishnah Berurah and the Matzah Ephraim discussing. What about on Rosh Hashanah? Is there a Chiv Suda? After all, the Gonim write that Mitzvah Liyasanos. Here the Mishnah Berurah writes, when it comes to the Suda Balayla, then there certainly is a Chiyuv Suda during the day, because it is considered to be a time of Avur Din. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah cites this issue, as to whether it's necessary for a person to repeat the benching. Because after all, maybe there is no full Chiyuv Suda because of these elements. That's the balance that we experience, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. On the one sense, a mitzvah of simcha, but also a recognition that this is considered to be a Yom Hadin. The Rosh, in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes a beautiful chiddush of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi writes that Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. The Yerushalmi writes, where do we see the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael as opposed to Umos HaOlam? So the Yerushalmi cites the following example, a Yom Hadin. Normally, right, in society at large, if a person is being sentenced, if it's a time of a serious trial, it's considered to be a terrible Esara. What is the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael? The Yerushalmi writes that we are able to exhibit Simcha despite the fact that this is considered to be a Yom Hadin. Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. That, the Yerushalmi writes, is the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael. This is true of the tension, the dialectic that one experiences during the days of Yomim Noraim, a Yantif. After all, a person, Rachman Litzlan, is in a period of Avelus. Comes Rosh Hashanah is Soser Avelus. Simcha is Mevatel Avelus, even when it comes to the day of Rosh Hashanah itself. But yet, as the Rambam writes, Einam Yemei Simcha Yaseira. The same is evident in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. We'll have to discuss, right, in the coming shir. Tkiyah Shofar is made up of various different critical elements. Now, the Tkiyah is supposed to represent that element of Simcha. Tkiyah is always Tekabu Shofar Godol L'Cheruseinu, or Parshas Baloscha, Uviyom Simchaschem, Moadechem, Rosh Echadshechem, Utekatem. That's the role of the Tkiyah. Tkiyah is always supposed to manifest the sense of victory, celebration, simcha. And Shruah is very different. The Kedusha Sayyam of Rosh Hashanah, characterized by Yom Shru Yelachem, the Targum translates as, you know, Yom Yevava Yehelachon, a day of crying. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah a person will cry in various different ways. Genuchei Gonach, Yulei Yalil, longer cries, shorter spurts. That's why we blow a Shvarim in a Teruah. The Tekiah is a manifestation of Simcha. The Shvarim in Teruah is supposed to be Yom Yavav Yehevachon. That's the dialectic of Rosh Hashanah. To be able to experience simultaneously a sense of Simcha, but at the very moment acknowledging that this is considered to be an Esara as well. One could ask the very obvious question, Simcha na Yom Hadin? Why are we so chutzbidik, so to speak, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to celebrate a time of judgment? What sense of ha'azah, sense of chutzpah, the audacity of celebrating the Yom Hadin? The Rush writes the following Kiddush. That's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the following Havtacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us in many different ways. Not only through Amidas Hadin, but also through Midas HaRachamim. When we view Yemei Hadin, that certainly invokes a serious moment of Yom Yavav Yehelechon, a time of Bechi, a time of crying, a time of seriousness of Yom Hadin. But if a person is sentenced in front of a melech who is Molei Rachamim, with the promise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that even, so to speak, with a minimal effort, Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to us with Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, you know, the opportunity for Slicha Mechilin Kapara becomes a moment that not we dread, but rather an opportunity that we await, and that gives rise to the mitzvah of Simcha, even on Rosh Hashanah. The Rush writes, because we have confidence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osenisim, Umata es dinam lakavskos. The Rush writes, we have a certain measure of confidence. Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, Kirachim av abanim, and therefore, Ayom Hadin is a moment of Simcha. This is the balance that we experience when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. At once it's considered to be a great moment of Simcha, but at the same time is a day of trepidation because of the Yemei Hadin, and the challenge is to balance the two. On the one hand, we don't recite Hallel, we don't recite more than the Simcha, but at the same time, we wear big day kavod, we have achila and shtia, we certainly acknowledge it's sosa avelos, there are elements of Simcha, as the Rambam writes, but balanced, tempered Simcha, in that particular sense. You know, it may very well be, if the definition of Simcha, as I began, is v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, one perhaps could argue as follows, isn't that exactly the role and the very purpose of Yom Menorah? If a person were to ask you, what is the opportunity of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? The answer is, as the Gemara tells us very simply, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotza. Eilu Asar Yomim Sheben Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotza means a person can always find himself Bifnei Hashem, but the challenge is to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to be found. Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotza. That's a reference to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If the definition of Simcha as being Bifnei Hashem, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimotza. After all, the Torah tells us on Yom HaKippurim, Ki B'Yom HaZeh Yechaper Leichem Matar Eschem, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. The very terminology of Lifnei Hashem, utilized in the mitzvah of Simcha, is used to describe the essence, the Kedusha Sayom, of Yom Kippur itself. On Yom Kippur, that may be the pristine day of great simchas. The Mishnah tells us in the very end of Maseches Tainis, even according to the Sheet of Tosus, that Yom Tov requires Beis Hamikdash, Aliyah L'Regel, Karbanos, in order to find oneself Lifnei Hashem. But the Chiddush of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim is that no, a person can be Bifnei Hashem even without Beis Hamikdash, simply as a function of Kedusha Sayom. The Gemara tells us, Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chavav, that you know we have a principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. That normally speaking, when a person is engaged in a mitzvah, and the purpose is to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't use any object, any Heftishol mitzvah, that has any link at all to Avera. And therefore, when the Kohen Gadol does Avon Yom HaKippurim, he goes Lifnai V'Lifnim, doesn't wear the big day Zav, but rather Big Day Lavan. And the Gemara gives us another example. The Gemara tells us, Rosh Hashanah Chavav, a shofar. One should not use a shofar of an egel, after all, because that's reminiscent of Egel Hazav, Ein Kategor, Nase Sanegor. Good? The Gemara has an obvious question. The halach of Ein Kategor, Nase Sanegor That applies universally? Of course not. That's a mitzvah only when it comes to Kodesh HaKadoshim. When the Kohen Gadol does the regular Avodah Yom Kippur, he wears the big days of. When he does the Avodah Yom HaKippurim Lifnai V'Lifnim, then Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor. So the Gemara asks the obvious difficulty, the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. That's Lifnai V'Lifnim in Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's Bifnei Hashem. Ah, the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar is Bigvulin in the Shul where Tokeh B'Shofar. That has the halacha of a Kohen HaOved Lifnai V'Lifnim Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara answers, absolutely yes. Kevan dila zikarnasi, kilifnim dami. The Gemara says, since the entire purpose of Tkiyah Shofar is lezikaron, zikron shrua, to elicit, to be ma'ora, that midas harachamim, to forge that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being bifnei Hashem, kilifnim dami. It's as though you are the Kohen HaOved in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Incredible chiddush. The mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar is a vehicle to be bifnei Hashem, as the Kohen Gadol, as we began, is bifnei Hashem when he does avod in Yom HaKippurim. That's the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Kedusha Sayom is lifnei Hashem titaru, even without avodah, even without Beis Hamikdash, even without Aliyah L'Regel. What greater moment of simcha could there be of lifnei Hashem titaru? But yet, the challenge of tshuva, the challenge of the Yimei Hadin, that requires that it must be balanced. And that's the uniqueness of Knesset Yisrael, to be able to balance that sense of Midas HaRachamim, of Midas Hadin, the Haftacha, certain measure of Ha'azah, confidence of our uniqueness, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but not to minimize the challenge and the call to tshuva as well. We'll see that these themes are evident in the very essence of Kedusha Sayom, certainly part of the mitzvah of tshuva, and also very much part of the obligation of Tkiyah Shofar. One of the themes that we're obligated to have in mind, Rav Sadia Gaon writes, when we fulfill the mitzvah of Shofar, is this tension, this dialectic. Terilias, as the Rambam writes, Tkiyah Shofar remez yeshbo, ur yeshenim yeshenaschem, to realize that it's a call that awakens each one of us to tshuva, but at the same time, the wondrous call of simcha, of v'yom simchaschem v'adeichem uv'ra sheichad sheichem. That's the balance. L'halocha, a mitzvah of simcha, but as the Rambam writes, that ein yamei simcha yaseira. Part of already the challenge of Chodesh Elul is the necessary hachana to be able to experience both of these elements. There are times of the year that we experience simcha, in times near Rachman al-Tzan that we experience avelos. But to be able to experience each one simultaneously, that balance is not so easily mastered. That requires intense hachana. To see the times of Yom Narayim as an awesome challenge and responsibility, but also as an opportunity that we await Bezras Hashem b'simcha. Right, during this period, it's crucial to focus on these two elements. So true in terms of hashkafa, but as I mentioned in many different marmakomos, also true lahalacha of the dual focus of Yom Narayim, a time of simcha, but also Yom Yevav Yehilachon, the seriousness of a time of bechia, of an eis tzara, evident in the tekiyos of tekiyah, as opposed to that of shvarim in Jerusalem.